Praise God. Thanks so much. Have your seat, everybody. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. How are you doing? How was work? If you went to work, if you're not on holiday, how was work? Star AJ, Star Christie, how was the day? Pastor Joy, Star Peace, Brother Kim, ICT. Hope today was cool, bro. Jutes. Okay. Thanks so much, everybody. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, it's our salvation, part 15. Yes, to the Jews, for to everyone that believed, to the Jew, first also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Sister AJ, how did I explain the just shall live by faith on Sunday? Is it Sunday? Yes. How did I explain it? Do you remember? You should. When I said the just shall live by faith, what did I say it means? Is it talking about your earthly, your daily conduct? Is it saying you will conduct your life by faith, or what is it saying? That means you didn't go through your notes. Go through your Sunday notes. Peace. The just shall live by faith. What does it mean? Man? You didn't go through your Sunday notes. Sabuki, the just shall live by faith. What was the meaning? How did I put it on Sunday? The just shall live by faith. Man? Man will be justified by faith. I said it was not talking about your earthly conduct. It's not talking about the fact that today you will walk by faith. And when we say the just shall live by faith, most of the time we think he's saying that every day we will conduct our life by faith. Yes, of course, that is also true, but you can use other scripture for that. And the Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. That is different. But when he's saying the just shall live by faith, he's saying man will be justified by faith. Is it clear? What is he saying? Man will be what? Justified by faith. Meaning, the just shall live by faith means the just shall be. A just man shall appear. He will live. A just man will manifest. A just man will appear by what? By faith. Justification will be by faith. So it's not really a scripture for spiritual growth. For our daily work. It's a scripture as touching what? Salvation. Say salvation. Okay, thank you. Matthew 11, verse 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Wow, when he's saying, come unto me, I will give you rest. Of course, rest can only be talking about salvation. So how will this rest, how will it come? How will man get this rest? Just check the verse before. That is verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal him. That will mean the rest of verse 28 will come by the knowledge that will be shared in verse 27. The rest is not just a rest by impartation. It's not just a rest that will come. The rest is not independent of the knowledge of the Son of God. See that John 17 verse 2? John 17 verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That is Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know God is to know Jesus. There is no the knowledge of God. All you know about Jesus is all you know about God. So, why is knowledge this important? It's because you are not only saved by the gospel, you also stand in the gospel. The gospel is not just a message, only a message for salvation. It's also the platform wherein a Christian should stand. You stand. Say, I stand in the gospel. See 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have believed, and wherein you what? You stand. You must stand there. That is why the gospel will be communicated through much teaching, through much knowledge. I said it on Sunday. I said, man, ensure your evangelism is characterized with so much teaching. Don't just go there and say, well, a man came, died, rose again. Do you believe right now? That is too shallow. Take him through scripture. Do you remember, which series? Did we discuss it? I said, it's not just Jesus that did miracles. It's not just Jesus that is appearing everywhere. It's not the Jesus in the dreams. It's the Jesus where? In the scriptures. It must be the Jesus, the only Jesus that saves is the Jesus you preach from the Bible. Not the Jesus of experience, not the Jesus of the miraculous. Are you with me, brethren? Of course, I know they are the same, but I am saying the salvation will come through much teaching. Say much teaching. Because at times you may not, for man, that's why we have some words in the Bible that in our unbelief series, which we pick up again when we are done with some of these things. Like, we've studied some words. What is the meaning of words like being persuaded? Somebody has believed, but he's not persuaded. I mean, sorry, somebody heard, but he's not persuaded. That is why, you remember, we read about Agrippa, right? Agrippa said, yes, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. That means he has heard something, but something is not yet enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So what must we do with this authority with us? See verse 19. Go ye what therefore and teach. Say teach all nations. Say teach all nations. Let me tell you clearly, the latter part of verse 19, we can't find it anywhere. It was not repeated before Matthew. It was not repeated after Matthew. It was not repeated anywhere. He's saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is not in, anybody did it. No apostle baptized anybody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was not anywhere. If you see it, let me know. Anywhere in the book of Acts, in the epistles, before, because when Mark was writing his own account, what did he say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Simple. And don't forget, I've told you, John truly baptized with water. Jesus baptized with what? Holy Ghost. So if what you are looking for is just repentance, you go and be baptizing yourself with water. But if what you are looking for is salvation, which baptism are you looking for? The Holy Ghost. Say Holy Ghost. So now, back to Matthew chapter 28, 19 said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. So spiritual growth will come by teaching, and of course by yielding to instructions from your discipler. The word teach there in that Matthew 28 symbolizes, it's like a school. You must school believers. It's not fear when believers are shallow in knowledge. It's not fear when believers could not clearly say, when believers are not bold about their salvation, they cannot clearly say, this is why I'm saved, this is why I'm going to heaven. When believers cannot identify the songs to sing, songs not to sing. When believers cannot say, well, this is why I have the Holy Ghost, it stays in me forever. No, you must disciple believers. You must school them. You must school them. It must be rigorous. It must be like a school. Say teaching. Say discipling. So even in the miracle, even Jesus did so many miracles. But see that John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Thou art a what? Teacher. He has taught him. He said, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. That's not my Bible. Look at the Bible. You know it. I told you to quote your John 3. If you tell me you know it, you look at your Bible. Okay, he said, no man can, although he's saying, no man can do these miracles except God will be with him. He said, but you are a teacher come from God. Hallelujah. Say teaching. Hallelujah. Good. See Ephesians chapter 4. Let me call it in our sisters, but Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians. So teaching brings growth. Say teaching brings growth. Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some, you know, that's the way we shall read this place. It's like he gave Ojut pastors, he gave you evangelists, no? He gave, let's see this way, he gave some pastors, right? Some evangelists, some prophets, some teachers, some pastoral teachers. Are you with me? So he gave. Why? Verse 12. for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13, till we all come in the world, in the unity of faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature in Christ. 14, everybody, let's take it together, sirs, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even. So, see that verse 15. He said, but speaking the truth in love, speaking. So, what is the duty of everybody? Everybody is speaking. Everybody is doing, everybody is saying something. The apostle is saying something. The prophet is saying something. The teacher is saying something. Everybody is teaching. Everybody has that teaching ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, spiritual growth is an integral part of Christian living, which we must never joke with, because it determines the extent of the exploits you will wrought for the kingdom of God. We must not joke with spiritual growth, because if believers are not growing, exploits will not be much. We will not be able to do much from God if we are not teaching one another. Teaching brings growth, and without growth, we will not be able to do so much for the Lord. Let me say this way. In a way, Christians can determine who goes to hell by our refusal to preach the gospel. Christians, in a way, determines who goes to hell by our lackadaisical attitude to preaching the gospel, by our refusal to preach the message of Christ. So all untaught believers are licensed. All untaught believers, they are licensed for the heathen to go to hell. Every believer that is untaught is a license for somebody else to go to hell. I mean, somebody that is saved, though, but is not taught the word, is a license for an unbeliever somewhere to go to hell, because he's not taught. A man that is not taught, he will not be able to do ministry. Amen. Praise God. Are you with me? Christian can determine if a nation goes into lawlessness by refusing to put out the message. Our duty to the world is not NGO, your first duty. 98% of the duty of the believer is to put out the word. Put out the word. You don't serve God by doing NGO. First, put out the word. Put out the word. So if you really value what Christ has done for you, then you will know that there is no other purpose for us to live for. I know some people are already tired of this type of lifestyle, boring. You know, before me and those in church, when I came, I said, are you, hope you're not tired of this type of lifestyle. This is your life. The Christian life is your life. Hallelujah. Say, the Christian life is my life. See, your purpose for living must not be discovered from emotional, motivational books or talent or some singing, reading. Mm-mm. Your purpose is found in Christ alone. Purpose-driven. There is no other purpose. Your purpose is in Christ alone. Don't go and discover. There is no need to discover anything. There is no need to discover any purpose. There is no need to discover any, what am I living for? What am I created for? Your purpose, just all those books, go and dump it. Just write at the how to find your purpose in life. Just write Christ. Simple. Close the book. You don't need purpose. How to know your destiny. You don't need destiny. Your destiny is in Christ alone. Is Christ too boring for you? Christ is boring. It's not touchy enough. It's not up to your spec. Say my purpose. Say reason for living. Christ alone. Therefore, I must be diligent in teaching. Hallelujah. So it's a big shame to see churches creating football clubs. Creating football clubs among the youth in the church instead of training them up and launching them for evangelism. Even if Nigeria produced 10 C Ronaldo, well, okay, we are going to celebrate them, we are going to hype them, but who you help? Charities are now replacing follow-up and evangelism. Praise God. So we must know our place. Say spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a measure of how much of Jesus you know. E.g., I can say clearly, any pastor, man of God, anointed, that doesn't believe in that eternal nature of salvation, no matter your anointing, you are still a baby. It's not sentimental. Because this is the theme of the old Bible. It's the assurance in the old Bible. It's the confidence you must speak from the old Bible. By your wisdom, you might be pastoring a church made of millions, but if you don't believe in this nature of salvation, you are a baby. Amen. See that Ephesians 4 again? Verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. What's the unity of the faith? The knowledge of the Son of God. So unity of the faith is not any sentimental unity. It's not any sentimental, we are one body, let's be smiling together, let's be dancing. It's about unity of knowledge. So it's not when what should bring us together is not sentiment. It's not to say because we belong to one church. It's not to say because some people say, okay, Christians, stop, don't argue. Don't argue on Facebook. Unbelievers are watching you. They are watching you. Let's appear to be okay. You are not serious. Amen, amen. If they don't know we are not one, that in eternity, they will see our folly then. So we better get ourselves straight right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, what knowledge are we to seek? The knowledge of the Son of God. Say the knowledge of the Son of God. Yes. Not just any knowledge. Some Christians, they are so vast in visions, in revelations. They are vast in dreams. They are vast in dreams and interpretation. What are you looking for? Should you even be dreaming every day? Every day, the old men shall dream. Young men should see visions. Hallelujah. So, the knowledge we are to seek is the knowledge of the Son of God, of Jesus. Not of Moses, not of the law, but of Christ. Knowledge of Christ as explained in the law and in the prophets. The knowledge we are to seek is the knowledge of Christ, but as what? Explained in the law and in the prophets. Don't seek the law, don't seek the prophets, but seek Christ as explained in the scriptures. Is that clear? Say Christ. As explained in the scriptures. I think I've got it to a time that I just think I will have to just keep doing my work. Hold on. Let me not say the rest. So we look at the entire Bible to explain our Jesus. Luke 24:25. Come on. We look at the entire Bible to explain Jesus. I trust the word. If I keep giving you the word like this and you keep listening, the word will produce results in you. The word will produce results, mighty results, mighty, undeniable proofs of the power of God. Okay, I said Luke 24, right? 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow and fast, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27, everybody, let's take it together. And beginning at Moses, all the prophets explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So where did he explain himself from? From Moses and all the prophets. See that verse 44? He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalm concerning who? Concerning who? Jesus. Hallelujah. I think you say concerning you, me. You. Do you have a Jude in the Bible? Do you have a bookie there? Amen. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, 46, 47, want to go? And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 47, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Say his sufferings and his glory. Our man will be free from the consequence of sin is based on what Jesus has done. The only way, the only reason that man will be free from the consequences of sin is based on what Jesus has done. I have told you in Christianity that love, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. It does not apply to sin. It does not apply. In Christianity, you don't reap what you sow. You don't reap it. Don't look for it. For your sins and your iniquities, what Jesus said, I remember no more. I take an account of them no more. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Hallelujah. Rush to Acts 10:43. I love this. Brakim, anytime I'm preaching, anytime I want to mention remission, which other word do I shall use for it? Cancellation. See that Acts chapter 10, verse 43 again. Acts 10, 43. Want to go Acts 10, 43? Yes, read, yes. To him gave all the prophets witness. How many prophets? All the prophets. So that means this is what you must look for in all the prophets. You must not focus on 1 Samuel. You are looking for sweet story, sweet bedtime story from 1 Samuel. Moses, are you with me? The Lord, are you with me? Good. So you must not look at the 1 Samuel looking for bedtime stories, sweet stories, David and Goliath, Absalom, Esther, fine girl, beauty, pageant, queen, slay mama. You know, Agupusi gave us the interpretation of all those people on Facebook. Amen. Very serious. But see, he said, to him gave how many prophets? All prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him should receive what? Remission of sins. Remission of sins. Say cancellation of sins. Say sins. No, it didn't say past sins. Official. Says just sins. If it's called sins, it has been remitted. Hallelujah. It has been cancelled. So when you look at the entire Bible, you look for how God will forgive sin. This is what God sent the prophet. This is what the preacher must carefully bring out from the scriptures. Carefully from the scriptures. The knowledge of the Son of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. I don't really plan to wait for you too long today. So, be fast. 2 Peter 3, 18. Let me know when you are there. Okay. Let's take it together. One, two, go. Yes. But growing what? Growing what? Grace. Growing what? Grace. Is he in the law? Say, growing grace. Okay, yes. That he is the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So what is grace? Is it the knowledge of our God? The knowledge of Jesus. So grace is not saying, I celebrate you. Grace is not saying, you are sweet, you are okay. You are going, you are happening, you are looking kinky, thank you. God bless you, you are blessed. God bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Your eyes will be open, you will see the bull that is attached to you. No, that's not grace. What is grace? The knowledge of Jesus. Say the knowledge of Jesus. Knowledge. So that's what I'm saying. Grace, people have just think that grace is one eye-jabbing message that you have people interpret that there are 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Woo! Wow! So there's liberty. Shake a body. That's a liberty. No, that's not a liberty. Hallelujah. It's not a liberty to jump. It's not a liberty to ha! That's not liberty. It's liberty to see what they could not see in the law of Moses. They read the law of Moses today, they see condemnation. We look at the same law, we saw how God justified us. Hallelujah. Say, I have liberty. Say, I am free to see how forgiven I am. To see how loving my God is, even in the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Come on, don't get tired of me today at all. So, Moses kept teaching the Israelites the law for 40 years, and none of them could enter the promised land. So much law. So like detail. Can you see? So much teaching of the law. Nobody could enter. When he finished, nobody. Everybody had to die. He, like, details. I think I'm still coming there today. See Galatians 3 to verse 12. The law can never bat faith in men. Never. Can never. Do's and don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. It can never bat faith in you. Galatians 3 verse 12. And the law is not of faith. Galatians 3 12. And the law is not of faith. So the law is not of faith. So the simplest way to make a Christian sin more is to keep telling him the things he needs to do to please God. Do things to please God. Do this to please God. Do this to please God. Apologies to some of you that have, that have a serious pastor that is giving you an exam. So please God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do this to please God. Do this. No, you are doing this one to please your pastor, not to please God. Amen. Praise God. See Judges chapter 6 verse 12. The first. When God called Gideon to ministry, what did he tell him? He simply called him who he wanted him to be, who he has made him to be. See, Judges 6 verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon was still complaining. He just told him again in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. No catch up. No time for story. Just go. This is who you are. Praise God. See, I'm as righteous as God is righteous. God will look at an highway prostitute and just call her the Ketchikuma of our time. Amen, amen. He looked at a drug addict and say, yes, this is the man that will do the great work just like Kenneth Hagin did. That is our God. Acts 13. Come on. Verse 37. You declare men free. You slam it upon them. You slam righteousness upon them. You slam justification upon them. You just give it to them free of charge. Free of charge. As long as you are not the one that died, you don't have the right to reduce the temple. Amen. Don't get tired. Yeah, Acts 13, 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, being known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you what? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. So anywhere the law of Moses condemns you, hallelujah, open this verse for them. Say, yet I am justified. I don't have to appear justified before Moses. I stand guiltless before God. That is righteousness. Say righteousness. Romans chapter 3 verse 21. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See it all. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, but is witnessed by who? The same law and in the prophets. That would mean it is because of myopia. Is it myopic or myopia? What is that short-sighted? That is why people will look at the law and you will not see grace inside. That is why you will open Genesis to Deuteronomy and you will not see how God was in Christ, reconciling man to himself, not counting their sins unto them. It's because you are not looking very well. That's why you are not seeing it there. Because the same law and the prophet witness the same things. No, remember John chapter 5 verse 45? Say, don't think I will accuse you to your father. There's one that accused you to the father, even who? Moses, in whom you trust. But he now says, if you had believed Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. Wow. So, Moses did not only write accusations, you will also find what? The words of Jesus. Grace is there. Look for it. Say, look for it. Hallelujah. I'm saying Romans 3 to 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Say there is no difference. Say no difference. Say north and south. Igbo and Yoruba. No difference. American and Indian. No difference. One blood. The whole world. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the bad news. Ensure you know the good news. What is the good news? Verse 24, want to go, everybody? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Say justified freely by the grace of Jesus, not by the works of the law. Say freely. don't remove that from that word. Say freely. Say, I did nothing. We did nothing. And we will do nothing. But we forever remain justified. Hallelujah. When you are tired of hearing justified from my mouth, don't come to my church again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, we are in verse 25. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Past when? Past under the law. When law was in force, law was in putting sins. So the sins that were in those dispensations, they were remitted. It's not saying your sins that were past tense to your new birth. No. Through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is what? It is excluded. Hallelujah. By what law? Of what? Nay, but by the law of faith. 28. Once you go, yes. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without. Say without. Say without. So, a Christian will only grow when he starts acknowledging himself and calling himself what God has called him. Some people try to convince verse 29 there, will say, well, but he's saying we establish the law. That is a carryover for chapter 4. I'm not going there today. That statement in verse 29 is just a carryover for chapter 4. Anyway, because a Christian will only grow when he starts acknowledging and calling himself what God has called him. I won't stop telling you this, brethren. Confessing your sins will never make you free. It will never. I was delivered from that act from 2006. Confessing your sins will never make you free. Once you see have that sin consciousness in your mind, you see have it. I mean, well, you can't pray without saying, God, is there anything I've done in my thoughts, in my behavior, in my action, abstractly, knowingly or unknowingly, in every way, all the sins that my forefather committed, forgive me. As long as you have that mindset, you will never be free to know God. Christ has made you righteous. Call yourself, and so you are. So call yourself that. Not so you will be, so you are. A Christian that squanders his resources daily in behalf of Allah, is he righteous? John 1:17. He only doesn't know because all he hears daily is God is mad with you. Say, I'm committed to baptizing men with righteousness. He said, you shall know the truth, and this truth shall make you free. What truth? That is John 1:17. Yes, what's there? For the law was given by Moses, but grace, which is the truth, came by Jesus. It's not grace 1, truth number 2. No, grace is the truth. Say, grace is the truth. It's not the truth of the sin you committed, no, but the truth of what Christ has done for you. Praise God. Acts 20. This message, it sets people free. It doesn't make people sin more. No, it sets people free. You will be better. That's what's the point. You will be better. You will be better. You will value yourself with the worth of the blood of Jesus. It will help you to value yourself, conduct your life as the one for whom Christ died for. That's just the wisdom of God, brethren. Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to what? To God and to the word of his. Which word can grow you up? To God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So, anyway, they are telling you that Deuteronomy 22, assistance, don't wear what pertains to it. You will not grow up there. That's just Christians die there. They don't grow there. I've told you. They die there. They will bury them there. They don't grow. Which is able to give you, build you up, and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Sir, let me ask you this question. How will the word give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified? How? How will the word of God's grace give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified? Yes, a sister, you are 5 and 6, yes? Huh? You talk. Give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. What is he talking about? Receive. Huh? Inheritance among them that are sanctified. What's that? That's the fruit of ministry now. Is that not? Huh? What did I start with today? When you know, you will be empowered for what? For ministry. So the word will not only grow you up, the word will grow you up to the extent that you will labor well in ministry, you will profit in ministry, and you will have eternal reward to your ledger. So apologies to those who are laboring in a law-minded environment. You will have nothing. You will have nothing. Eternity, you will have nothing. You have 2 million members, yet you laboring under the words of the law. You will have nothing. Nothing to report before God. Nothing to glory for eternally. Inheritance among them. Because that inheritance is talking about what you have not received, right? Huh? Yeah, so that is the reward in heaven. It will only come by you acknowledging what God has done. You cannot be the fastest man on the wrong lane. It's disqualification. Say, I raised 2 million people from the dead. I did this, I did that. But you are laboring just on the wrong lane. Stay on the right lane. Do it well. Say, do it well. Say, do it with God's priority. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Spiritual growth is tied to how much of God's grace you know. Not the size of your offering, not the size, not the number of love points you have crammed, you have memorized. So, years ago, about 18 years ago, we have thought to cram the law of Moses. Cram it. Iku, death! But you cram it. That's why you know it by heart. He say, I will write my law in there. Say, as he receives his law in there, sometimes you are not cramming it. Huh? He didn't say, oh God. See, Hebrews 8, verse 12. Want to go? Let's read. Yes. I will be merciful to the unrighteousness. Since iniquities. Please, if you can write this message down, write this down. It said, they will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. That's message translation of that verse. They will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. Say, we know God by knowing how he forgave us kindly. So if you keep meditating on this, your life will be transformed dramatically. But if all you keep thinking about is how I will not be a castaway, how not to sin against the Holy Ghost, how to keep the law of Moses, how your name will not be removed from the book of life, oh boy, Jesus, how not to commit one unpardonable sin, the unprofitable servant. What a shame. Amen. The bad news is, the more you meditate upon them, the farther you are from growing up spiritually. The farther you are. The farther. Of course, we still treat all those passages. That's why this is a very detailed teaching. We'll just be taking it gradually every week like this, so you will not have any excuse to go to hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, my faith is made effective. Because I talk about the good things that I have in Christ. Stop focusing on your characters. Stop saying, this is who I am. This is just me. I get angry once in a week. But that once in a week until they offer a sacrifice of... they don't use palm oil nowadays. What do they use nowadays? Cakes, fried rice, shawarma, ice cream, right? Pizza. Once they offer such sacrifice, I will never be appeased. No, that's not you. No, that's not you. I remember in those days in our villages then, once a wife offends a man, for after you have apologized for the apology to be well accepted, you now go and pound one nice panedia. You now put and you must not ask him for the money of that one. That's enjoyment. You must not ask the man for the money of that one. Nice panedia. And she must be on her knees until the man finishes it. That is why I support feminism to an extent. Hallelujah. Oh, Philemon 1 verse 6. Come on, don't get tired. Philemon 1 verse 6. Let me be done with this so I can enter the house of the demons. Philemon 1 verse 6. Are you there? That the communication of thy faith may become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Good things. Say good things. So Christianity is about confessing the good things, the good news, not the bad things. So stop confessing Romans 8:23 without verse 24. The wages of sin is dead. All I've seen and come short of the glory of God. Don't forget 24. The Christian knows verse 24. Simple. The Christian should acclimatize himself more with verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 23, the part, A part, the wages of sin is dead. The Christian knows the B part very well. You may know the A part, but you must know the B part. But what? The gift of God is eternal life in through Christ Jesus. Psalm 130, verse 3. You know that if God shall mark iniquity, who shall stand? That is the bad news. The good news is the next verse. Know the good news. There is forgiveness in you. So that might be fair. Say, focus on the good news. Say, I'm not an half reader. I am a full reader. I am voluminous. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, can't you the master keep it? Rust keep Peter man day. Can't you the master put a machine man in house? You must know everything. You must know everything. You must know everything. He will keep forgiving you in such a way that you'll be afraid. Romans 2:4 says, "Is the goodness of God that was brings to repentance." Romans 2:4 is the goodness of God that leaded thee to repentance. Remember the Samaritan woman? Jesus didn't condemn her. You remember Peter? Jesus didn't condemn him. And he's not condemning you too. But daily he makes you better. Say, I'm not a sinner. Say, I'm as righteous as God is righteous. Say, because I am his righteousness. That is clear. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, 1 Peter 1 verse 1. Almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Everybody, please try and look at this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, to the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, slowly want to go. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved for you. Say, checkmate. Verse 5. Who are kept by your power? Say, I am kept. I am garrisoned. I am surrounded by the power of God. Of course, he's talking about your salvation. Say, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. In the last time, lastly, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. You are going to read for me what you wrote down in your exam script. 1 John 5, 18. I want to hear all your voices. What you wrote down, that's what I want to hear. 1 John 5, 18. What you wrote down in your membership exam, let me hear it now. One, two, go, let's read, yes? We know that. Who is keeping you? Can you keep yourself? Should you keep yourself? Which baby keeps himself? Except the boss baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, God keeps me. Say, he keeps me from falling. Say, he keeps me from falling. That's Jude 1 verse what? 24, right? Say, he keeps me from falling. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are to bank on the authority of God and on what he alone does. And he does it very well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take a pillar, take a vacanta, capala, shatter the days. Take a pillar, take a pala day. Catholic rose, take a vidas, take a vina, cantilos, antilos, antilamos, apalandeos, yeco, talamanamos, apilaros, epala, macazepo.